This is Jerry G. Martin. We are bringing you a powerful, impactful sermon series that we did on Father's Day. And I want you to listen in and come back every day. It's another element to this week's broadcast. We started off with my son and I standing in the pulpit talking about the father and the son relationship and responsibility to train and to receive wisdom. And then I took a moment to speak the father's blessing in the lives of my children. And I want to encourage every father that's listening to me to do the same. And then we spoke into the lives of those in our congregation who did not have a father in the home. We blessed them as well. And then we prayed for every man. Join us and listen in as we walk in the light of God's word.
There's a story that a man tells who asked three stonemasons what they were doing. The first man said he was laying bricks. The second man described his work as building a wall. But it was the third man who explained the purpose of his labor. And he says, "I am building a great cathedral." You ask the same question to a group of fathers about what they're doing in their family, and some just say, "I'm just trying to make it." Others will say, "I'm just trying to provide for my family." But then there are some that will say, "I am building a legacy and a heritage for the future with my family." It has to do with our understanding of who we are and what we need to accomplish. And there are many families who come together where there is no vision, there is no purpose identified, and no understanding of what you're trying to do as a father and or a mother in that regard. A lot of time we're just trying to survive day by day, and we're responding to the things that happen every day, but we are not planning or structuring or having some kind of idea of where we're going with this. As we see the family structure disintegrating over this last generation, the family is in dire need of retooling and getting ourselves back on track. The family is in perilous shape. There are many families where there is no father in the home at all, and the mother is doing the best she can to train the children, take care of the family, provide for the family. But there is a deficiency in the family when there is no father in the home. And we are seeing it in our culture and in this generation. There are men who are getting married that never had any man trainer. And the women are wondering why they have to be the leader in the home and why they have to take care of the family business, while they're the ones that are saying, "Baby, you gonna go to work today?" He has no man training. So I wanna talk about the influence of the father. Fathers have great power to shape the emotional, the psychological, and spiritual health of the children. The father has great power to do that. A recent Reader's Digest article called "Life Without Father" shared some informing words on the lasting influence of a father on the lives of his children. The article said this: in the early years, more than two-thirds of all children prefer to play with their fathers. Fathers know how to play better, especially for boys. For the boys, we throw them up in the air. And the mother say, "Oh, don't do that." Well, we say, "Oh, he's all right. We're just toughening him up." Playing with the father is very important in teaching children the importance of self-control. Children who roughhouse with their fathers quickly learn that biting and kicking and other forms of physical violence are not acceptable. Can't do that. Mothers wonder why children respond different to the father's voice. They do. when they can hear that masculine voice, they respond differently. Are you aware of the father's influence, or are you surprised by the father's influence? If you had a family where there's a mother and a father, your father influenced you differently. God's word tells us about the interrelationship between the father and his children. There is a scripture in Psalm 127 that says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of children. And a man with his sons and a man with his daughters is a powerful influence. God expects the man to be the primary influence in the family. When you look through the scriptures, when Solomon is talking in Proverbs about instructing your children, he's talking a lot about the father's instructions in the family, the father's instructions. So one of the things we have to be sure is that when there is instructions in the family, that there is harmony and understanding between the mother and the father, so that the mother is not giving different instructions than the father. Children pick up on that pretty quickly. So get together on your instructions. Be sure that you're speaking the same thing. The kids are going to want to put one against the other to see who's in charge. And then you find yourself fighting with your spouse when you ought to be taking it out on your children. No, that's what we said, and that's the way it's going to go. Proverbs 4, verse 3 says, when I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. This is a father speaking to his son. You lay hold of my words. So the inference is that the father is giving sound, prudent instructions to his son. If you follow what I tell you, you are going to make it. Do like I tell you, you're going to make it. Do exactly as I say. Follow my commands. Follow my words. I am giving you some information that you are going to make it and you are going to succeed. Follow my words. I'm looking at guys now saying, I don't know. You ought to have some basic primary principles that you can instill in the lives of your children that if they would do that, they're going to be fine. And if you're not doing that, father, you're not doing your job. The mother ought not be the only one trying to get him information. You ought to say, no, listen, I'm going to give you step one, step two, and step three. You don't have to be the smartest person in the world to be able to do that. You can be fundamental. You can be simple. But you need to give some instructions in your house. So, father, if you have small kids, say, hey, listen, this is the rule and this is the commands I'm laying down so that you follow these. You're going to be fine. I still remember some of the commands of my father that influenced us. And he had seven boys and one girl. And my father was not highly educated. He went to the seventh grade. But he was intelligent. He had good sense. We used to call it common sense. So he would instruct us in that neighborhood where people didn't think that you could succeed in life. And he would tell us that I am going to instruct you so you can have a successful life. And the first thing he taught us and influenced us is with a work ethic. You need to work and work hard. And I remember him saying, if a man won't work, he will steal. And if he steal, he will kill. Now, he wasn't talking to men. He's talking to little boys. If a man won't work, he gonna steal. Because he still wants stuff. And I don't want you going around stealing, so guess what you're going to do? Some work. And it wasn't none of this. They're too young to do all of that. Don't put them to work. Mama didn't say, don't let them do all that. It's hot outside. Make him work. You need a work ethic. You're going to need to work for your family and not just work. Be a good worker. Be a diligent worker. Be a consistent worker. Be a dedicated worker. And my job is to teach you how to work. I know if you work, you can make it. You'll get a job. You'll be a good employee on a job. And you'll always have some money coming in because you will know how to work. I learned how to work with a shoe shine route. We bought some tools and some leather and started a little leather making keychains and wallets, me and my brothers. We cut yards. We sold peanuts. When I was 13, then I got a real job. That was before I was 13. But we were working. You know why? Because he said, I'm not giving you any money. You got to earn your money. I ain't give you no money. By the time he'd give you a dollar, you could have done sold 75 soda bottles. By the time he gave you a dollar, I got through talking about it. You say, I'm going to go hustle up some soda bottles. I can make some money by the time I got to listen to all of that. So don't give them everything they want. Tell them you have to work in life to get what you want. I'm not giving that to you. Go cut a yard. Pull some weeds out of the flower bed. Do something. When you give them something all the time, what are they going to look for? An enablement all the time. Somebody's supposed to give me something. It ain't like that when you get out in the world. That's why you're raising up men that some of them won't even work in a pie factory. So when I left home, I was 18 years old. I got a job working at United Parcel Service. I was working unloading trucks, those little brown trucks you see. This was in 1968. And I was so happy because I was making $3.13 an hour. And I was like, oh my God, I'm making money right now. And I was throwing those boxes and they worked us hard. We had to unload 1,500 packages per hour with the labels up in the heat. And we were throwing that, and there were guys that would come and they would quit at break time. And I was in there singing. I'm just, man, this is, I'm getting paid for this. I worked harder than that for free. I ain't leaving this job. I ain't quitting this job. Are you kidding me? So that was almost triple minimum wage. What's triple minimum wage these days? That'll be almost $20 an hour. I'm going to work. And that guy said, that guy is working. Then he gave me a promotion. Because I was working. I mean, this ain't nothing, man. It's just work. So he taught us a work ethic. He said, you need to provide for your family. You need to provide for your family. My father provided for the family. That's the number one thing. He said, man, you provide for your family. And he said this, if you work, you ought to have something. See, these are just simple principles. If you're going to work, don't ever spend more money than you have coming in. Do not ever in your life let more money go out than you have coming in. That's still a principle that works today. So how many of you been working? You are 40 years old, 45 years old. You've been working already in the working market for 25 years, and you don't have enough money to last through your paycheck. If you don't get paid next time, you're in a bind. He would look at you and say, what's wrong with you? That's what he would do. He said, you don't have good sense. You've been working that many years and you can't ride out a paycheck? Are you kidding me? And you done went to school too? It's simple as that. It's not a matter of how much you make, it's how much you save. Now, folks called him cheap, but he wasn't broke. My mother said, you know, the people at the church thought we were rich. This was back in the late 50s and the early 60s. I said, they thought we were rich? They said, yeah. Because when your dad bought that 1954 Chevrolet, he paid cash for it. My father was a barber. He says, you can make it work. Just don't spend everything that comes in your hand. I remember he bought a new car 12 years later, 1966. Nice Chevrolet Impala. Four-door. And I'm thinking, Dad, you could have got one with some air conditioning in it. He said, you got four of them, roll them down. Thank you, sir. That was his way. And when we get old, we want to have something. We don't want to rely upon anybody else. That influenced me in my thinking about how to manage for the future in our family. He said, you need to manage your family resources. Do some planning for the future. I was looking at some documents the other day. It was in 1962. He went out and bought some rent houses back in the day. In fact, he was renting a little place for his barbershop. He says, why should I keep renting? I'm going to buy a place, and then I'm going to have my own shop, and then I'm going to rent out the chairs to somebody else. Seventh grade education, but he was intelligent. So he bought a couple of rent houses in 1962. They are still generating income today for my mother. All right, some foresight. Don't spend everything you have, everything you see on your eyes. You just want to go get it. I told him, I said, Dad, why don't we get some mag wheels? That mags was just coming out in the 60s. Get some mags for the Chevrolet. He said, son, they don't make your car ride no better. And in fact, I can't even see them while I'm driving. And thirdly, the only one can see him, that old boy down the street, he's going to see where I park so he can steal them. I couldn't argue with that. Well, you're right. So he taught us. He influenced us. He spent time and he shared with us how to do things, putting a work ethic, providing for the family, planning for the future. He also taught us, and these are not in any particular order, how to honor God and serve God, how to be a person of character, how to be a person of reputation. He was big on that. Your name means something. Be a person of your word. He was big on that. Be a person of your word. And he said, my job is to keep you out of jail, to train you to work. And he said, let me tell you boys something. I'm not going to help you get in jail. And I ain't going to help you get out. You're going to have to get in by yourself. And you're going to have to get out by yourself. I ain't helping you get in. If you get in, you got in on your own. So you can get out on your own. So I don't know any of us that went to jail on purpose. If they did, I don't know about it. He also taught us about discipline and being disciplined. Discipline in the home. He would say there are no juvenile delinquents, there are parental delinquents. If you have a juvenile delinquent, that's a direct reflection upon the parenting. Somebody used to come, when my sister was born, someone said to my father one time I was listening, he said, well, you got one girl, Rev? I bet she's spoiled. He said, anything spoiled ain't no good. He ain't had no sense of humor when it came to stuff like that. Anything spoiled is no good. So she got in line with the rest of us. She had to line up just like everybody else. He didn't take no prisoners. It was like, yeah, you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to be diligent. So he set rules in the home. I don't care how old you get, long as you live in this house. Some of y'all heard that when you were coming up. I don't care how old you get. I don't care how many whiskers you have, son. There's still one man in this house that runs things. And as long as you're in this house, you're going to have to be in this house by this time. I don't care how old you get. You go off and you come back 40 years old, you still got a curfew. because you are in this house. I know my brother went out and stayed past the curfew. I think it was midnight. And so he's going to sneak in the back door. No turn on any lights. Tiptoe through the house, get undressed, and get in the bed. My daddy was in his bed. He ain't waiting up for him. Can you see that? Get in bed and... Yeah. Okay, son. So it wasn't funny then. But he had those rules. He had those guidelines. And those were his rules. Whether you liked it or not, those were his rules. You know, we went out to work, and when we worked, we had to bring whatever we earned home and give it to him. Bring that in here. Put it right there. You talk about taxation without representation. Put that money right here. So the only way we made it, I skimmed a little bit off the top. But that's what we did, and that's the way it was, and you were going to do that. You didn't have anything to say about it. That was the days of no back talk. That was the days of no rolling your eyes. Those were the days where you could not survive with that kind of response. That was the days before CPS. Those were the days you could disappear and nobody even know you used to exist. They wouldn't even know you exist anymore. Or they went to live with their grandpa. The children are in control and you're responding to their need. There's always training going on in the home. Either they are training you or you are training them. There's some training going on. And they'll train you. They'll say, I'm going to cry every time I want what I need. If you just reply and respond appropriately to their need every time they cry, they're going to keep crying for the rest of their lives. Fathers, it is vital and important, especially those who still have the opportunity to influence their children in the home, that you influence them and you give them a direction to go.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and I certainly hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast. We encourage fathers to speak into the lives of their children and build up their children. Now, I know that there are a lot of families out here where there's no father in the home. You are also hearing a special occasion where I prayed for and spoke into the lives of the three children that God has blessed us with, Jasmine, Jessica, and Jarrett, and I spoke what I believe God wants to fulfill in their lives. Fathers, take some time, speak into their lives, and let them receive the Father's blessing that's been so significant in scriptures to guiding the lives of your children. There was a special time of prayer for those who did not have fathers in the home. If you didn't have a father, it affected you, and the church stood in and spoke the blessing into the lives of all of those who did not have the Father in their lives to speak for them. If you would like to hear today's message in its entirety, go to our podcast at The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. You can listen to today's message as well as previous messages that you've heard on this station. If you're looking for a Bible bookstore in the city, we have one right here on our campus, the Beacon Bookstore, where you can get books, Bibles, church supplies, communion supplies, or whatever you need. Call us at 281-441-2885. Again, that's 281-441-2885. Join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We're at 16161 Old Humble Road. Come and join us and exercise the faith that God has already given you so that you can learn how to move forward and go to the place that God has in store for you. This is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.